Blog Talk Radio.
I know. I just need to pray this with somebody today. I don't know. Maybe just a tea. Just want her to know it's gonna be all right. And I don't know. Somebody else may be going through something today. I want you to know it's going to be all right.
Yeah. It's going to be all right.
Thank you.
be all right. It's going to be all right. Doesn't matter how incredible the situation might seem to you, it's going to be all right. We have to trust God beyond what you could even imagine or think. And I just want you to know it's going to be all right. Not sure what you're going through, but let me tell you, it's going to be all right. One of the other things I wanted to share, well, I tell you what, I shared it before. We ask Pastor Bill if she'd give us a word of prayer right quick.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. It's going to be all right. And we're thanking God for his amazing grace. I like that. Thank God for his amazing grace. He pulled us through. We thank God that he's no respecter of person. We're thanking God that it's going to be all right. And you know what? We're thanking God that he loves us. Amen. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from St. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior. We're just thanking you, Father God, for all things today, Father God. We're thanking you, Lord, that it's going to be all right. And no matter what someone is going through, it's going to be all right. Because in your word, it tells us that we're to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways to acknowledge you. And you shall direct our path. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for your word today. We're thanking you, Father God. Your word is alive. Your word lives in us. And it's in our hearts, Father God. And Father God, we ask that you just continue, Lord, to allow your word to be in our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you will bless all those that ask us to keep them in prayer. For your word says, by your stripes we are healed. Those that are sick and shut in, those that are going through, Father God, and bereaved, you say you will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on thee. And Father God, we're thanking you for your miracles that we have witness that's being performed even today, Father God, where people say miracles don't happen. But Lord, we see it, we hear it, and we just thanking you, Lord, as we stand on your word, Father God, we're able to trust in you. Father God, we ask that you bless this broadcast, bless all the listeners, those that's listening by internet, those that have called in, and bless those that participate, Father God. And we're just praying that we will continue to pray one for another. And as the scriptures say, trust in the Lord. We thank you, ask that you will bless our pastor. Continue to be with him, Father God. Ask that you build a hedge all around him, protecting him from danger, seen and unseen. And bless each and everyone on this broadcast to keep us. And we plead in the blood of Jesus on each and every one. Lord, we thank you. Now open up our hearts and our minds to this mighty word as we continue to study about your Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost leads and guides us. In Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor, so much for that beautiful prayer. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited about the working of the Holy Spirit in the church, which is us, in 2021 and beyond. That's what we're talking about. So whatever was happening after the day of Pentecost, it should be happening right now in the church. Now, that may not be happening in your building now. Like Pastor said a moment ago, miracles are still happening right now. It can happen right in your living room. It can happen right at the grocery store. And personally, this is just put out what's really in my spirit. When you get saved, it's a miracle.
Yeah, say that.
Think about it. That's a miracle, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Because
yes, it.
Where you were going, think about it. That's a miracle, brother and sister. To be saved at such a time like this is a miracle. To be in the Word of God and He's keeping you in perfect peace is a miracle.
Yes, it is.
So I totally agree. We left off yesterday at 2 Corinthians 3. We was the third chapter and the third verse. So we want to go back there. Corinthians, that ex-president said Corinthians 2, but anyway, 2 Corinthians 3 and 3. God have mercy. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I guess I'll read it from the King James. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministers by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ Himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living Spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. Amen.
Amen. See, if you know what was going on, there were some false teachers had started mm-hmm. carrying to fortify letters of recommendation to, and I guess that's where a lot of these folks say you got to come by letter or whatever. But anyway, it was to authenticate their authority in no uncertain terms. So Paul mm-hmm. stated that he needed to know such letters. The believers to whom Paul and his companions had preached were enough of a recommendation that you didn't need any paperwork. So Paul did use letters, of course, to introduce. However, if you remember, many times, I mean, I could just call scriptures out. And you know what? I won't do that. We'll do that. Let's go to Romans 16, 1 and 2. Because you need to know, Paul was always writing letters. So when he says this, it sort of got the people thinking, man, what you talking about? So in Romans, y'all bear with me here. Romans 16, 1 and 2. I'm trying. It says, I commit unto you perhaps our sister, which is a servant of the Lord, the church, which is at them, that ye receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, excuse me, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she have need of you. For such have been a thorn of many, and of myself also, Greek Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So he wrote letters. Oh, you can read out the Messenger Bible, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. From the Message Bible, be sure to welcome our friend Phoebe in the way of the Master with all the generous hospitality we Christians are famous for. I heartily endorse both her and her work. She's a key representative of the church at Century. Yeah. Help her out in whatever she asks. She deserves anything you can do for her. She's helped many a person, including me. Say hello to Priscilla and Aquila, who have worked hand in hand with me in serving Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, and it's important that you remember, even with this scripture, that it was in Christ, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He said over there in 1 Corinthians 16 and 10, we'll read 10 and 11. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, 10, and 11, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Excuse me, from the Message Bible. If Timothy shows up, take good care of him. Make him feel completely at home among you. He worked so hard for the master, just as I do. Don't let anyone disparage him. After a while, send him on to me with your blessings. Tell him I'm expecting him and any friends he has with him. Amen.
Yeah. So you see, these letters help all companions and friends find a welcome visitors. Some of them was visitors. They was, in other words, when he would read these letters that he had wrote. So Paul wasn't against reading letters, but to authenticate that you was a Christian, you don't need no letter. I've already went where I didn't want to go, but I'm going there anyway now. Too many people telling you, well, let me see you as Christian. Where are your papers? Let me see you, you know. And then they practice that. Are you coming over here to join the church? You coming on your Christian experience? You know, that's a big deal with some people. That's big deal. You don't have a degree, you don't have documentation to authenticate who you are in the Lord, don't believe it. So what Paul said was very impressive to me. But you know what? Based on your conversation, people ought to be able to see that. He said, so Paul used this famous, powerful, well, actually he got it out of the book of Jeremiah 31:33. I tell you what, we ought to go there. Let's see. Jeremiah. I just love Jeremiah 33:30, but I'm not going there. But in Jeremiah 31:33, y'all bear with me. I'm trying to do a whole lot of stuff right about now. It says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their heart, inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. From the Message Bible, this is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. Amen.
So here's what's going on. So what Paul referenced to in 2 Corinthians was this very scripture that was in Jeremiah, and also it's in Ezekiel too, that God said, you know what, I'm going to put my spirit in their heart. And and the result of this, it's going to make them a shining light. So when people see them, they'll know that they're living epistles. Come on, somebody.
Hey.
I want you to see this, man. You know, you don't need no paper. If the Spirit of God is in your heart, help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have to read that passage? I'm so caught up right now. I thought you read it.
Yes.
I tell you,
I did. You want me to
read
it again, Pastor?
Time?
I'm fine. Yes.
Read it one more time.
Amen. All right, Pastor. It says, this is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. Hallelujah.
So there won't be no human credit being taken here. You know how people say, well, you know, I went 4 years to this school, and I went to this college, and I went to this university, and I pastored these many years, and I've had these many memberships. See, people always bragging about their place in God.
Yeah.
So when Paul says, no, you won't do that here, not in the church of Christ Jesus. That ain't happening. Because once the believer is converted, actually God's taking over. And it's the Holy Ghost that began to teach. It's the Holy Ghost that began to lead and direct. There is no technical institution here.
Say that.
God depending on the Holy Spirit in our hearts, giving us that new power to live for Him. There is no bragging. Let that go.
Amen.
There's been no human minister who can take credit for this process. No, you can't take credit for this process here.
Amen.
I hope that's making sense to you. I went that route to show you. Look here, brothers and sisters. God has to get the credit. Because he putting his new spirit in us. Because we deserve it, because our old spirit died, so he had to give us a new spirit.
Yeah,
it don't get any plainer than that.
Amen.
It don't get any plainer than that. See, it's all about God planted the seed of faith in our hearts. So all we have to do is water it.
Amen.
And you do that by praying. You fertilize it with the words of good conversation. You began to fertilize it with the things of God, with the Spirit, your faith. And then when I think about it, it's developing a gratitude attitude. Developing a gratitude attitude. So in every situation, you count your blessings. You don't be bragging about. These are blessings you have to count. You look at everything you have and express gratitude for it. See, gratitude is the great multiplier, because what you focus on multiplies.
All right.
What's really going on here. Very important that you develop that gratitude. And when you get the right gratitude, you will have the right attitude. You all know that.
Amen.
See, when your focus is right, I hurt for people who don't get this. I hurt for people who don't understand. It ain't about you.
Amen.
Paul said, do we begin again to commit ourselves, or need we as some other epistles of condition? Wait a minute. Let me go in and find that. I had saw it a moment ago. Okay. But what he was saying is, you are epistles written in the hearts, knowing and reading of all men. So when men see you, they'll know that the glory of God is on your life.
Yeah.
And they'll know that ministry came from Christ.
Yeah.
It's greater than Moses. So when you talk about the stone, when you talk about a written testimony, a written testament, that ain't what you want. You want men to see Christ in you, which is the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
That's
Hallelujah.
What we want.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you really got the right gratitude, believe me, the attitude coming because you got the right gratitude. You're thankful.
Yeah.
You're trusting God with all your heart. You're not leaning to your own understanding, but you're simply acknowledging him in all of your ways. So it's very clear to me, brothers and sisters, that you are Christ's letter to be read.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pause that for a moment? Ask yourself, what do people read in that situation? See, I can sit back and brag now. Because I'm not in the situation. But how about when I'm in the situation, what people going to read?
Yes.
Yesterday, they were talking. Well, that lady had spit on me. They saw this picture or something. I said, you know what? I just got through teaching about forgiveness. I said, I know it's not fair, but it's God's word.
All right.
I know it's hard sometimes to say, well, do good to those that despise us. I know it's hard. God expects that out of you.
Yes, he does.
And it doesn't matter if you expect it out of yourself or not. God expects you to do good to those that despitefully use you. God expects it. He expects you. Yeah. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. Now, I know a lot of preachers won't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. God expects you to be the kind of a disciple he's calling for in 21 and beyond. That's what he expects out of church. Nothing less.
So,
you know, enough with all this crazy where, you know, I just listened to those that were, these people here, they go to church, they brag about their church, their pastor, and then they sit up and say something. So I just put them on blast yesterday. I put them on blast. And it just so happened God allowed us to do this lesson yesterday. And the Lord just told me, you know, to tell the people what thus says the Lord. Remember when Jesus said, here's what Jesus said. I say, love your enemy. Do good to them that hate you. That despise. And they were talking about, make a long story short, this lady, she had spit on this other lady in this other lady's face. And they talking about what they would do.
See, have mercy.
That's the time you got to be what 2 Corinthians 3 says. It's in those situations. That's when they did you wrong. That's when you got to become a written epistle.
Yeah.
Not with it, but with the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
That's when
you
got to show up and show out for God.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, every one of you all, for joining us today.